It's Ryer on YouTube. It is a Tuesday morning, January the 13th, 2026, right at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. Back with you on the channel. We were here yesterday with TR in the a.m. 2 days in a row. That's a streak. It's a streak. We'll go with it. We'll go with it. A lot to talk about in relation to the events of Monday afternoon. Some good news. A good news Monday. Typically, you don't associate Mondays with good news. But it certainly was the case for the Alabama football program, where both the transfer portal is concerned and also in terms of roster retention. We'll get into all of that. Alabama men's hoops with a big one on the road tonight at the Hump over in Starkville. Really need a replacement grade after that performance against Texas on its home floor Saturday night. So you lose one at home like that, where you're a big favorite. Nothing's easy in this league. We understand that. But you get Mississippi State on the road. You get Oklahoma on the road this week. Really need a 2-0 week after that loss to Texas. Feels like it anyway, because you're already 1-2 in the league. Really don't want to dig that sort of hole at 1-3, 1-4, because then it gets late, really early, in a league like the Southeastern Conference. Plus, you already have that loss to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt looking like the favorite right now, still very, very early, and you don't get a chance to make that one right. You don't get a return date with Vanderbilt. So that one's just sitting there for the rest of the regular season. So we'll see if Nate Oates' team, beat up basketball team right now too. I mean, you had Phylon dealing with the full body cramps at Vanderbilt, and then Latrell Wrightsell right now, just a continuing issue where injuries are concerned with him. Taylor Bowen on that doubtful list for tonight's game at Mississippi State. Aiden Sherrill's been playing through some injury. So it's a tough spot to be in this early in the SEC season when you're not playing your best basketball and you're dealing with some health issues to some critical guys on your roster. But we're going to talk some Alabama football transfer portal. Again, those additions yesterday afternoon, wanted to get more into that. Not as much of a rush to jump on here. Wanted to take some time to sort of look into some of these guys so I could give you a little bit more than just the surface level thoughts. And we'll start with Ty Haywood, the offensive tackle transfer from Michigan, true freshman in 2025. See some Cam Robinson in this guy, watching him, going back to his prep tape. 6'5", 315-ish is what he was listed by Michigan. You hope, as we talked about in relation to Hollywood Smothers, we understand the commitment situation now in transfer portal, recruiting and signings. You know, I don't know if to call it committed anymore. What I'd like to hear maybe more so has signed and or agreed to terms. And that's how NFL we've gotten with the transfer portal. It's more to me about, don't tell me a guy is committed. Tell me he's agreed to terms and or signed. And so Haywood coming in from Michigan, played in just 2 games last season for the Wolverines, went back and was able to find some snaps for Ty Haywood against Maryland. And that game was in late November, and those snaps were at left tackle. So it makes sense for him to jump in there with this Alabama offensive line. I think in terms of priority, if I had told you yesterday, look, you're going to have one, but not both. You're going to have this offensive tackle, still has a couple of 3 years of eligibility remaining. Does that even matter to you anymore? Does remaining eligibility, when Alabama brings a guy in, hey, this guy's still got 2-3 years of eligibility, does that matter? Or are you just at the point now where you're looking at like, let's just hope we get through 2026 with this guy? But in terms of priority of what Alabama needed with this sort of revamp or rebuild of the offensive line, you probably would have taken Ty Haywood over Hollywood Smothers. You just look at the NFL for more on that. In terms of positional value, this is the guy that you needed. And it gives you perhaps some versatility between tackle and guard and the pieces you might be able to move around to get your best five on the field for 2026. You feel good. You feel like you know, speaking of Michigan, you feel like you've got your center position sort of already established. And this is a guy in Haywood that has spent time with your center. at a previous stop. So there should be some continuity from that standpoint. Interesting, you go to Michigan really for two positions that are most important to an offensive line: center, left tackle. Pedigree usually of Michigan guys at that position on that particular area of the offense, pretty good traditionally, I think, when you look at it from that standpoint. I go back to the concerns about acquisition, because then I see Jordan Seaton, the offensive tackle from Colorado, hits the portal now in the last 24 hours. And this is a guy that's expected to command $2 million plus as a left tackle, transfer portal entry. How about that for Jordan Seaton? Now, Jordan Seaton started for 2 years, so should be a little bit different in terms of valuation, but it speaks to, again, the importance of having that kind of guy at that position. Now, Jackson Lloyd, obviously still in this. Michael Carroll, again, how Alabama goes about sorting through all this to get its best five on the field, I think will be very interesting to watch play out. And Alabama's not done, I wouldn't think, in terms of the transfer portal and some of the candidates that are still out there for offensive line. You need seven guys, at least. You need seven, preferably more like 10. So you can go into game weeks feeling really good about the seven or eight you have available, because you're going to have injuries. You're going to have ineffective play. You're going to have competition that, when you're going through this sort of rebuild, it's probably going to take you well into fall camp, maybe into the season, to sort of figure some of these things out. You don't want, for me anyway, you don't want another situation like last year where you're playing, you're rotating seven or eight guys in a game. Maybe that's going to be a thing. I don't know. But again, you like the versatility that it gives you with Ty Haywood. I thought in that game against Maryland, limited snaps, certainly looks the part at the position, was considered to be a highly coveted guy coming out of the high school ranks. So nice pickup for Alabama. We'll get to the show chat coming up here in just a little bit. I see some of this. Donald Andrews, our pal, checking in. Shane Bland says, Haywood, if nothing else, OL competition depth. I think they're counting on more than depth from Haywood. You know, what you don't know about Jackson Lloyd is the physical development. Because when I looked at Jackson Lloyd in the little bit we saw him in 2025 as a true freshman, that was pretty obvious that he still had some ground to cover physically. And if he does that, you feel good, I think, about three tackles. Michael Carroll at right tackle, I know he's been asked about that in terms of guard tackle. I tend to think that most of those guys, if they have the choice, it's going to be tackle over guard, simply because when you're thinking about big picture and you're thinking about the National Football League, guards have come on. Centers and guards have come on in terms of value, it feels like, but still, that line starts at the tackle position. Donald Andrews chiming in here says, Travis, like you said yesterday about these guys entering the portal late, big money. Yeah, it's not the dumbest thing to do. Kind of let that first wave go through, and there's still going to be big buyers out there because they can't all get the same coveted guys. And then you come in late, and then you got all these teams basically coming for you. It seems like Seton may be taking that approach as well. Hey, so more of the portal talk from yesterday, and I want to get back into that because it takes us into takes us into Noah Rogers, the NC State transfer. So you did get an NC State transfer, it appears. Wasn't Hollywood Smothers, but Noah Rogers was a highly ranked guy coming out of the high school ranks. Originally went to Ohio State before coming back home to Raleigh to play for the Wolfpack. There's that viral clip of Noah Rogers hurdling a would-be tacker in the Gasparilla Bowl last month. That game against Memphis showed you he's got some twitch on that play. Kind of like the C.J. Dupree hurdle. Remember C.J. coming to Alabama from Maryland a couple of years ago, had that hurdle clip that was very popular. When you look at Noah Rogers, I think one of the first things you want to find out is he a true X? Is he a true outside guy? I think he is. Whether it's X, whether it's Z, I think regardless, he's an outside guy for Alabama. I liked in watching him, he created some space for others, because you have to respect his ability to get vertical, whether it's switch releases. And what really stood out to me about Noah Rogers is middle of the field work. A lot of dig routes. Kind of reminded me of Jeremy Bernard from that standpoint. Worked that dig route in the middle of the field, got some yards after the catch. And here's what I liked about him too. Is he Devontae Smith as a blocker on tape? Is he Julio Jones as a blocker on tape? No. No, he's not. Those guys were, for the wide receiver position, about as elite as they were pass catchers. But there's a willingness there. He's a guy that when you watch him, he'll at least go look for work on runs and on post receptions from other guys. I even saw him gun. He was gunning on punts that I saw, I think, in the Gasparilla Bowl. So, and you also like, you feel like, you know, from a sample size, you're getting a guy that's going to catch 30 plus balls for 400 plus yards and a couple of touchdowns. That's his, and essentially his last two seasons at North Carolina State statistically were identical. 2024 caught 35 balls for 478 yards. He was the third leading receiver for NC State in 2024. 2025, he was the third leading receiver for NC State. 33 catches, 441 yards, a couple of touchdowns. So he's a 13 yards per catch kind of guy. So you like that? I watch a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars football. So if I was going to make a comp that I'm familiar with, it would be Jacoby Myers. You know, Jacoby Myers for the Jags was an absolute revelation after coming in via trade from the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Noah Rogers size-wise is kind of that sort of guy. Both of those guys, 6'2"-ish, 190, 195. So a needed addition. I think it gives you Rogers to go along with what you think right now, understanding this situation is fluid in this era of the transfer portal. Gives you it. I think where it helps you too is you don't have to, as we talked about yesterday, the rush now that's put on development because of the attrition. It doesn't sort of force you to rush Sadarian Morgan. You know, it gives you some time. Rogers got a couple of years of eligibility left. Not that, again, that seems to matter all that much these days, but you know, you can bring Sadarian Morgan along at a more reasonable pace, you would think, because of Noah Rogers. And then you put him with Ryan Williams, Lottie Brooks, Rico Scott, Derek Meadows. Now you're looking at six or seven guys. You still need to build on that, maybe. But it's a legitimate addition. Absolutely. In Noah Rogers. What else do we have here? We have the kicker situation I wanted to talk about this morning. I like this one. I like it because it's a hell of a story. I mean, he's not just a hell of a story. Lorcan Quinn, the Marshall transfer, you would think this is certainly welcomed competition to that job. Couple days left in the portal. And we'll still see if you get through this window and Connor Talty's still with you. And you pair him with Lorcan Quinn. Maybe it works out if you do. You know, Quinn kicks in Tuscaloosa and Talty kicks on the road. That seemed to fit Connor Talty a little bit better in 2025. Kicking on the road versus kicking in Tuscaloosa. Quinn transfers to Alabama after an all-conference freshman season at Marshall. He was 21 of 26 on field goals. I like that he was, you know, he was at a very high make rate from 40 plus, including 4 of 6 from 50 plus yards. He's just an amazing story because this is a guy who played Gaelic football over in Ireland, and that consists of free kicks. So there is some carryover to American football kicking, but he didn't start kicking American footballs until 2024. He entered a competition. This is all from an interview with him via the Marshall Sports Information Department. Quinn entered a kicking competition a couple years ago in hopes of winning tickets to an NFL game. He didn't win the competition, but got noticed by a kicking coach. It's a guy that was doing road work in Ireland. before enrolling at Marshall at the age of 24. His first ever field goal attempt in American football was this past season, and he drilled a 50-yarder. So, again, he has that ability to get there from distance. Watching him, it's easy power, too. It's not a guy that you get the sense is really having to work hard to get it there from distance. It's pretty smooth, pretty easy. I like that he has that athletic background with the football he played previously over in Ireland, 6'1", 190. So he has that sort of athletic ability and the strength and the torque to get it there from distance. Should be interesting to see how this plays out with the kickers. The more the merrier. And we talked about Adam Watford coming down from UNA in terms of the punting situation. Really good 2025 for North Alabama. So Alabama addressing snapper, kicker, and punter in the portal here in the last week or so. You love to see it. Kickers matter too. Punters matter too. Donald says, I know you and those kickers and special teams work. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I appreciate it. So we'll see with Quinn. I like it. I like it. I think, you know, more the merrier in terms of competition. Just going to make some guys better either way, you would think. Hey, and also wanted to touch on Bray Hubbard returning for another year big. You know, I tweeted this yesterday. We got the Marshall Pritchett tweet from Yale, Alabama. And I mean, we're about to close up the portal and we're about to hit the NFL deadline for underclassmen. So you got to think in terms of the older guys and the impactful guys, more of those tweets are going to be coming. At least you hope that's the case. If you're an Alabama fan from Yay, Alabama, you're going to see more of these back coming back, run it back. The vernacular is interesting in terms of what teams are using. I see USC using just straight up re-signed. You know, I don't think every program is ready just yet to go there in terms of describing the transactional era that we're in. But regardless, Bray Hubbard coming back as an anchor in that secondary for Alabama. And he's big in terms of taking the football away. He's shown that the last couple of seasons. He's also effective as a blitzer. He's also played some of that money position, or what I call the money and the dime. So you're getting more than just one guy. You're not just getting a posted up safety or a box safety. You're getting a guy that truly understands Kane Womack's system, can help people get lined up, can help make calls back there from the safety position, kind of run the show back there. And then positionally, you know, he's versatile. He's going to give you, he can come down in the box. He can play middle of the field. He can come off the edge as a pass rusher. So that's big. When you start penciling in, and I emphasize that, penciling in secondary pieces, Xavien Brown, Dejon Lee, Red Morgan, Bray Hubbard, if that's four of your five, and you feel you know that coming out of the portal and the NFL stuff, you know, Keon Sabb's still out there. I think Ivan Taylor's a guy they really like. So when you think safety options beyond Bray Hubbard, Zay Mincy, we'll see how that works out. There are guys right now that make you feel good about that Alabama secondary going into 2026. I didn't touch on this guy yesterday either, and I meant to. I screwed this up. Really wanted to talk about Mercer transfer Carmelo O'Neal. So since we're talking secondary, just an intriguing addition at 6'4", man. You think about 6'4" corners. Now, we talked about that with Dejon Lee. Say Mincy came to Alabama as a corner before moving to safety, and that's sort of the default reaction, I think, a lot of times to 6'4" corners. You think, well, he's going to safety. Well, maybe. But if you watch this guy, O'Neal, on the FCS level, he was effective in man coverage. Now, more so into the boundary. You get that big corner into the short side of the field, you know, it's a better proposition, I think. Where it gets rough for a 6'4" corner is you got him out to the field, out to the wide side, and now he's got a lot to cover with probably a true X that he's working against. You get him against a Z, another type of receiver into the boundary, he can be effective, and he was. And he also, kind of like Bray Hubbard, he won off the edge in some pass rush situations against tackles. So size and traits, and he projects at pretty much every spot on the back end. But again, there is legit cornerback tape, both in press, man, and also that sort of eyes to the quarterback approach, zone coverage that Alabama likes to utilize as well. Let's head back to the show chat. What do we have? Anything, guys? Donald says secondary is probably the position this staff has done the best job with recruiting and developing. I would tend to agree with that. You know, they've played a lot of people. That's for sure. No doubt about that. I thought Damani Jackson in year two wasn't what he was maybe in year one. Or maybe he was, and the book got out there. And, you know, they get tape, these opponents, and they figure out ways to go against you. So, but yeah, I'd say for the most part, recruiting, I think the evaluation process, they pretty much hit on it. So that gives you some comfort too, I think, where Carmelo is concerned. I would say too, you know, in some of these situations, yeah, you want to go out and get the best available player, regardless of, you know, eligibility left or those type of things. But it's really kind of like what we've seen in college basketball. And I think Indiana is a prime example of this. The goal is to get as old as you can get with the guys maybe that you bring in from the grassroots stream, i.e. high school recruiting, those type of things. It's harder than ever to do that. But man, if you can get old and stay old, that's where you can have a real advantage. I know there's a lot made of, well, Indiana only has 3-star guys, but you know what they have? They have some old dudes on that football team. And if you don't know the difference between a 24-year-old and a 19-year-old, you've probably never been in a tavern brawl. There's a difference, physically and mentally. And so it'll be interesting moving forward, though, because the COVID guys and the COVID eligibility years, you got to think that the 6th and 7th year guys are going to dry up. I mean, we'll see how it plays out with this Pavia deal, too, that's still in the courts, because I know Joey Aguilar in Tennessee are still holding out hopes of that. But man, this era, just 6th and 7th year type of guys, it's kind of been like unlike anything we've seen in college athletics. Shane chiming in here says, get the balla from Eufaula. I should have trademarked that. Signed, looking for another edge rusher. Yeah, I would think so, Shane. You know, you went 50% in terms of retention of your top 4 guys from 2025, Justin Hill. And you think Yonzi Pierre coming back. See, Pierre and some of these guys, I think you're going to know in the next day or so, because it's January the 13th right now. And as this portal and the NFL stuff comes to a close, I'm sure Yay Alabama is, I don't know if Yay Alabama is sitting on them though. I mean, I think there's still some serious decision-making that's being done, and you know, with the back channeling, with the portal and what's available to guys, perhaps like Pierre of value. Hey, you saw Quay Rousseau, and I said this from the start, regardless of whether or not Quay Rousseau and his time at Alabama sort of lived up to it, there was still going to be a big market for both him and his pal, James Smith. And we saw yesterday, they both land. They didn't exactly land at Murray State, you know. They're both going to Columbus and Ohio State. But sure, not that I think Alabama just let Quay Rousseau walk, but I'm sure in terms of pecking order, Pierre had pushed himself, I would think, to the top of that list at the Wolf position. So again, get ready for those Yay Alabama texts, tweets, I guess, instead, in terms of returning news and the transfer portal. Anything else, gang, before we get out of here? I just wanted to jump on with some thoughts from a good news Monday for the Alabama Crimson Tide. You got you another kicker. You kept a very important defensive piece. You added a potential playmaker. Well, you added a documented producer in Noah Rogers from NC State and Ty Haywood, solidifying some things for that offensive line as it continues to come together. If you guys are good, I am too. Yeah, what else we got? That's it. I think Shane got his in. Doug Donald got his in. And so we are an absolute wrap for a Tuesday morning. Thanks again for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you would give us a thumbs up, a like, that would help us out tremendously as well. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you again real soon right here on Ryer on YouTube. And so Travis Ryer, thanking you once again. Until next time, so long, everybody.